The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Okay, this seems like a bit of a fail to me, but I want to get your take on it. We'll also get a take from Josh Seiden, co-author of Sense and Respond. Josh, Josh joining us now, co-author of Sense and Respond, How Successful Organizations Listen to Customers and Create New Products. I live in northwestern Arkansas, in Bentonville, actually, where Walmart's headquartered, and I saw this story that says Walmart has a new plan for home delivery. They're asking employees to just help out by dropping some stuff off on their way home. That seems like a fail.
Well, you know, it's an interesting idea, right? I mean, you can imagine right. somebody sitting in a conference room and going, this sounds like a great idea. We have these assets, meaning people, you know, let's put them to work in this new way. And there's certainly demand for services like this. It's so complicated, though. It's hard to know if it's going to work.
Okay.
I guess in theory it makes sense. You know, you offer an employee a little bit extra cash. You're on your way home anyway. Drop this off on your way. No, that's not really out of your way. And make a little bit extra money, I guess.
And then if you're officially, working on behalf of the company and you've got, your logoed, your shirt or whatever it is, I mean, I guess it could work. And maybe down the road we look back and go, wow, that was revolutionary. Right. But it seems...
Is it going to be as efficient as like a UPS or a FedEx, though?
Right.
Think? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is that all good ideas or so many good ideas sound crazy when you first hear them.
Right.
The problem is that bad ideas sound crazy too.
Right? There's no way to know.
So how do you know the difference, right? And so I think in today's world, you know, one of the things that we say in the book is that it's some of these things are just too complicated to figure out in a conference room, and some of the old management styles of sort of planning all of this stuff in great detail, it just doesn't work anymore. You just have to set this stuff in motion and see. And so, you know, to the extent that this seems like a crazy idea, I do think that the only way to tell if it's going to work is to set it in motion, and Walmart and the rest of us will learn if this is a good or a bad idea.
Well, and Walmart's so big, too. They can experiment on a small scale without disrupting the rest of their, their business model and just kind of tinker around. In Bentonville, there's all kinds of little test things that they roll out to see if it's going to work. I mean, they have their little neighborhood markets, Walmart neighborhood markets that don't have the department store, just the food
market,
stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's very limited. But most of the stuff you need. And then they have stuff like they redid the one Sam's Club in Bentonville, and they have a sushi counter and all of this stuff. It is pimped out. Yeah.
They have to do something. You know, I mean, Amazon is taking over the world, especially obviously retail and so many other things. So, I mean, Walmart is responding to this threat and I guess trying to be creative in a sense. This is what you talk about in the book, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think what we're seeing is that companies like Amazon they have this incredible ability to move quickly. One of the mind-blowing figures that we heard from Amazon just a few years ago is that they release new software live to production. In other words, they push software out to customers every 11.6 seconds.
Whoa.
Someone at Amazon is doing a thing that's, you know, making some little piece of software they hope better, and they have the ability to roll it back if it's fast if it's not working. So, you know, they have this incredible power to sort of, you know, you were just talking about experimenting, right? Mm-hmm. They're continuously experimenting, and they're disrupting. They've just changed the face of retail. And I think one of the things that Walmart has going for it is they have, you know, this incredible human power. So if they can't out software Amazon, maybe they can out human them.
I'd say then. So right down the road from my house, there's a little Walmart neighborhood market. It's one of the few markets that are real close to my house. And then there's a Sam's Club and Walmart all over the area, as you can imagine. But I would say probably one out of every five times I'm in one of the Walmart properties, there is a group of people with a button-up shirt, pocket protector, a little iPad, whatever, leading a tour of other people dressed like that and explaining things they're working on. So these are either vendors, things they're experimenting with, you know, people from other parts of, you know, Walmart, other parts of the country coming in and learning what they're doing. It's pretty interesting to be there and see all that, Josh.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that we talk about in the book is that increasingly, you know, any business of any size at all, it's becoming a software business. It's not just a business that consumes software. It really is companies we're going to see in 30 years that software is just built into their operations. And so we wrote this book for managers and for leaders who suddenly are dropped into this world and are not sure how to swim, you know? And so what we're, you know, hopefully laying out in this book is a set of principles for leadership to say, look, the way we operate in a digital world is different. Right? Silicon Valley and other tech teams have discovered new ways of working. And we want to unlock that for you. And it requires, you know, thinking about things in a different way.
Josh, so this is kind of an odd question. Just with your expertise in researching the book, and again, we're talking with Josh Seiden, co-author of Sense and Respond, How Successful Organizations Listen to Customers and Create New Products. What's the future, and maybe this is the $64,000 question, what's the future of social media? I mean, what's everything, or it seems like recently all of the tech is still old tech. We're just redeveloping and reapplying in new ways. What's the future of social media? Where do we go from here?
I mean, that's a great question. I wish I knew the answer. I mean, what's happened to us is we're having conversations as a, you know, human race on a scale that we've never had before.
Right.
You know, real time conversation. And it seems like we're not very good at it.
Right. Yeah. We're horrible at it.
Yeah.
The more pissed off we are at each other.
Exactly. It just seems to make things worse. And you know, I don't think it's a problem that technology has brought to us. I'm not sure it's a problem that technology is going to solve for us. So I wish I knew the answer to that.
If we're communicating, and I'm fascinated by this too. We're communicating with social media more and more electronically, and you know, everyone talks about it. They always show it on the news. People sitting next to each other on their phones. You know, we're not communicating in person. But at some point, the pendulum has got to swing back a little bit for that interaction, that personal interaction, one-on-one. We're not going to give up our social media, our phones, and that's not going to happen. I'm just trying to figure out how it's going to be applied in the future. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, that we certainly do see those trends. You know, new generations coming up. My kids, for example, think email is old-fashioned, right?
Oh, it's ancient to them. It might as well be 100 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think with each successive generation, we're going to see new ways that people are using this stuff. But, you know, I don't know how we solve that problem.
You know, the way we communicate, like you're saying, with email being ancient and how we listen to each other plays a role. You know, any company has to evolve. You know, no matter how successful you are, there's a process of evolution where competitors come and take over spaces and stuff. But you have to be listening, obviously, to what your customers want. So how do businesses stay relevant and evolve and at the same time give the customer what they want without losing that kind of connection?
Right. Well, we talk about in the book, we talk about this thing we call a two-way conversation with the market. What we discovered when we were researching the book is that the best companies have moved from a sort of an old industrial model of making stuff and pushing it out in the market and then sort of advertising it very loudly to a continuous process where they'll push a little thing out, like we described with Amazon. They'll listen to the market, both by watching how the software is used, but actually just going out and talking to people. And then they'll adjust their plans. So, for example, we heard Tesla recently. Someone complained to Elon Musk about the people parked at supercharger stations. And he said, he tweeted back, "You're right, we'll fix it." And 6 days later, they had released a new feature in their software to try and address these crowded supercharger stations.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to say it requires a kind of thinking about the way you plan your products very differently. It requires changing the way you structure your teams into moving them into small collaborative units. It requires a lot of change inside our organizations to do this.
We interviewed somebody last week on Glenn's program and then the week before on our program about passion brands that people are really passionate about. So these companies may have these huge brands and huge advertising dollars that used to work in the past, but now people have these passion brands that may be smaller, whatever. Well, Josh, that really goes into what you're talking about. It's not just the company, it's the marketing of them changing, because you're right. People would put out this product, you know, here it is, monolithic, is cereal, whatever it is. And then the advertising would be crafted to tell you why you needed it. Right. It was. And sometimes they would create a problem. Halitosis. You need this so your breath doesn't stink or whatever it was. Now that's not it. The marketing has got to be that the product has changed and fits does fit what you want, what your need, what your passion.
It's about removing friction, resolving an issue.
Right. So you're not convincing somebody that they need this. You're just showing them they really do.
This can make your
life better.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I think if you think about it from the company side, you're thinking about saying, well, look, we need to start having a conversation with our customers. And if you think about it from the customer side, I think this notion of passion brands makes sense, because this is now a company I want to talk back to instead of just seeing some ad on TV and shouting at it about how dumb it is, right?
Yeah, and it also goes to social media now, too, in the advertising. It's really, if your product is something that you've developed and then you've adjusted, like you've said, because you've listened to your customers and now you've got this new thing and it's continuing to evolve, it really is just about exposure then. You don't even have to sell them. You just have to make people aware. And that's really what social media does. They're not necessarily selling stuff. It's just like, hey, look at this cool thing I'm doing.
Right. And then and at the same time, listening on social media and saying, what are people doing with my brand? Right. You know, I've got I'm out there in the woods with this brand, and I put an Instagram photo up and I tag it with the brand. And now the brand has learned something about the way people use its products.
Wow. That's an incredible understanding of where we're going, I think, too. The book is Sense and Respond, How Successful Organizations Listen to Customers and Create New Products. And the co-author is Josh Seiden. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And what we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to the book and the information. It's funny when we're talking to these different business people, whether people who own businesses or people who have written books about business and marketing, can you see the picture? Like filling in the puzzle?
Yeah, each one is kind of like filling in a blank, and you're seeing an overall kind of new direction.
Right, he's talking about the products and stumbled upon that passion brand thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what they used to do. We would create a product. We'll go back to Mad Men.
Right.
You know, maybe the height of advertising, the golden age of advertising in America. You go to Mad Men, and what did they do? They created.
It wasn't so much like listening to what people wanted. It was like
telling them what you need.
Yeah, here's our new thing, and this is why you need it.
Right.
And now
it's making people aware of the thing. Hey, that thing you told us you want, it exists.
Right. And here's how it makes your life easier, and this is why you should buy it.
This before it was about tricking people almost.
Yeah.
It wasn't always a lie or inaccurate.
But it was more of a
convincing.
Yeah, trying
it
to
was selling. It was salesman.
Selling, yeah.
As opposed to a product people want.
Yeah. And like you said, the whole passion thing is really important. I mean, especially nowadays, even just when I think about why I buy things that I know will make my life easier,
right,
or I know will work, I know won't break in a day or two, whatever, and I know has a long track record. Like, I don't mind spending. We always joke that we're cheap and stuff, and we're always cutting corners and trying to, you know, get the most value for our dollar. But I don't mind spending a good amount of money on something that I know
is going to work
and make my life easier in one way or another. I mean, that's the whole point.
And then there's the priorities, you know, for us. I mean, we don't have unlimited funds or whatever.
No, obviously not.
So you have and we've talked about the lawnmower, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to prioritize. Okay, do I have time to mow the lawn?
No.
Okay, I don't have time to mow it. So $30 a week or 25 or 100 or whatever it is, you add that all up and go, is that worth it to me?
Is it worth
worth the time?
Because I can use that time somewhere else.
Right. And to make more money, you know, okay, exactly. If I apply that to work or a side job where I'm making $200 an hour or whatever, it's clearly worth it.
It's worth it, yeah.
And that's the constant argument. I do that all the time. I'm like, I don't have my wife, texted me a product the other day. I can't remember what it was. And she's like, hey, I'm really thinking about buying this. I'm like, you can buy that. Just, you know, it's like $60 or something. She's very conscious of spending money and getting into debt and whatever. And she's worried about our financial future. And I keep trying to explain to her something she can't get. It's about priorities. We can't buy everything. But if you think that's something we need, you've done, you know, the due diligence to say the research or whatever, worth the time, worth the money, fine. You can't buy everything like that. So prioritize. Maybe that's not a priority.
No,
but you have to decide.
You got to decide if it's worth it. And it's amazing how Amazon is like changing the way we buy things. It really is. I can't tell you how many. Now, every time we go out, me and my wife.
I can get it better online.
Exactly.
I can get it online.
We'll be like, oh,
what's
look at
the price
this.
Online?
So-and-so. How much is that? Oh,
I stand in the store and look stuff up. And I'm like,
I can get this cheaper on Amazon.
Down to the cost per item.
Oh, absolutely.
I do that with paper towels where I'm like the cost per paper towel would be, or the look, they give you the square footage whatever. And I'm like, per whatever is 18 cents. This one's 0.79 cents. Got it done. Here we go.
Cheaper.
I get it online. Constantly with this. But that's, and all of the, we talk about this stuff is to make your life better.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're just a consumer, you're never going to open a business or whatever. Or if you're going to open a business or you want to make some money on the side, even if it's part time, all of this stuff, the people we interview is for that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
Mike Broomhead joining us now from KFYI Radio in Phoenix, who's going to be pinch hitting again today for the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, it's fun to be here, man.
Good to have you here. So what do you have coming up with the big show?
We're going to talk about the London attackers, the identity of those guys, the guy in Orlando, the shooter, he's been identified. And of course, the leaker, this story of this leaker being arrested, this
Reality Lee Winner.
Yeah, what a great name. Reality Winner. And some of the tweets that she has put out. That's a huge story. If she is the White House leaker, that is a big story.
Because it's agenda driven. If you see her tweets,
sure,
she's a leftist. And the difference between her and Snowden, you really didn't know about his politics.
Right, he just saw something he thought was wrong and tried to fix it.
So if they try to make her, it would be interesting to see if the left tries to make her as this noble leaker.
Of course they are,
because she agrees, and her, she's crazy.
Yeah. She tweeted to Kanye West one time that he should make a shirt that said "Whiteness is terrorism."
See, right? I mean,
yeah. So if it's to her, I mean, the right. If that Twitter account
is truly her,
yeah, it's truly
it's
her.
Really, it looks like it was. Yeah. So they are very different, though. But yeah. She'll be a name everyone wants to remember. So
I've got a friend coming on named Jay Dobbins who has written a couple of books. He was the first federal agent to ever become a full patch member of the Hell's Angels. He wrote a book called No Angel. And he got hosed by the ATF when he was an ATF agent. So Fast and Furious investigation. Chaffetz is getting ready to do a hearing. And so my buddy Jay Dobbins knows a lot about Fast and Furious. Wow. Because it was the same leadership team. He served under the same leaders mm-hmm. in the Phoenix division of the ATF. And so he's been a big part of this Fast and Furious investigation. It's going to be a pretty compelling interview.
And Jay's that was frontline Phoenix because that's where it started, right?
That's what
that
all happened.
That's where it was
as at. As a matter of fact, I bought a couple of guns at one of the stores that was in the middle of that. And they are good, good people. They were the ones that recorded the conversations with the ATF to cover their butts if it ever came back to bite them when they called and told them, we're selling a bunch of guns to these people. And they said, go ahead. Sell them. We're surveilling them.
Because they would have rolled over on them
that's
in a second.
The
feds would have rolled over on the local guys absolutely with something like that. And look, you could see what a failure was. The fact that Fast and the Furious is not discussed every day that we have not got is outrageous.
Over 2,000 rifles into Mexico, even if it was an accident, no one was told. Napolitano said she wasn't told. Border sheriffs weren't told. Immigration wasn't told. And you didn't tell the Mexican government that we just handed the cartels 2,000 rifles?
Right. Violation of our law, international law, Mexican law with this stuff. And the plan that they had was a complete failure.
Yep.
It was never going to work, you
Absolutely.
Could tell. All right, Mike Broomhead coming up today on the Glenn Beck program. Stay tuned. He'll be on about a half hour from right now on this, the Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Good morning, Blaze, with Doc Thompson. Mike Broomhead is a real good guy. We don't get to spend a lot of time together. It's usually just when we're filling in, doing different things in Dallas for Glenn over the last few years, we've gotten to know each other, but real sharp guy, real smart and fascinating story. So make sure to check him out. Coming up on the Glenn Beck program a little bit later today, Fast and Furious thing is so outrageous to me. It doesn't come up a lot, and we've talked about it before. There's no new information, but it's one of, if there was more new information coming out, or people were continuing to be injured every day, kind of like the Veterans Administration, I talk about it constantly. It is one of the biggest failures in American history when you understand the concept. Their concept was flawed. The execution was flawed. And nobody was punished for it. And people were killed because of the failures. Not just a waste of money, not just a violation of the law, but people were killed. Incredible. I'm going to be listening today in the Glenn Beck program. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory. We've told you about for weeks now. I love the product. It works. It's worked for me. It's worked for Cal. It's worked for countless people around here and all kinds of other people. I'd love to tell you about these things that we find that work. That's the key. We talked to nowadays people are really looking for quality of life. What makes my life better? And that's something, you know, Relief Factor certainly falls under. There's all kinds of products that come and go that advertise on the program that we don't necessarily endorse. If we endorse them, it's something that you can count on, and that's Relief Factor. I'm sure some people haven't had the same level of success as others, but just about everybody that tells us they tried it gets a pretty solid result in dealing with that chronic pain. Most new users, it takes 7 to 10 days. For me, I've told you it was 4 or 5 when I was dealing with my sciatic, and I don't take it constantly. It's when I have a sciatic flare-up now, I'll take it for a couple weeks, a month or so. It takes 4 or 5 days to go away, and then I'll take a couple more weeks just to make sure if I've been running more and more, and then I'm fine for a while. But you can try it today for 3 weeks for just $19.95. That's plenty to get you beyond the hump so you know if it's working for you. 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95. Call them today, 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Or you can go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Try it today. So a group of, let's go ahead and do this now. Let's do that. And here we go. Let's do that. There you go.
the entrepreneurial spirit is to dream and to do. We are Building America.
Joining us now is Elon from CTLock.com. It's like seat, like you said on it. CTLock.com, and we'll tweet out a link to it. Hey, Elon, how are you doing?
Hi, fine, thanks.
I stumbled across your product online and thought, this is so cool and unique, we got to talk to you. This is one where we actually found you. Tell us what CTLock is.
First thing, thanks for the compliments. Really nice to hear. The CTLock is a lock that's fully integrated into your bike. Means the saddle is actually, or the seat is actually your lock. That's, I think, the best and only way to fully integrate the lock into your bike. And it solves a huge problem in any big metropolitan city that saddles get stolen. Saddles get stolen all over. People are taking their saddles on their way home or work or whatever. And that's why your saddle cannot be stolen, because it's actually your lock.
Yeah, this is something, if people bike, they've had issues with forever about how do you lock your bike up without having a lock on it. And people have tried different things. And then sometimes you end up taking your seat off as part of the
deterrent.
to get people to steal it.
Or people take their wheel.
Wheel, and then you got to carry that or whatever. But in this case, you've created a seat that is actually the lock.
The seat itself detaches from the bike and is itself the lock. It locks into whatever part of the frame or wheel that you want to lock in the seat. It's pretty cool.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to tweet out a link right now, because I want people to go to CTLock.com and check out a picture of it, because I think that'll really do a better job explaining how it works. But where did you get this idea, Elon?
I've just had the problem like any other people. I live in a city, and I got my saddle stolen, I think, like 3 times in the past, and then I was just finding myself, whenever I go to work, I have to take my saddle with me. And then you take it out of your bike, and you take all the seat belts. You cannot just take your seat, and it always has some grease on it, so you get dirty, and it's not something nice to do. And so we just thought about it, and I hooked up with a good friend of mine who's an industrial designer, and starting to develop the idea, and finally it turned out to a real product and a real company.
Now, normally we focus on American businesses as part of this segment, but we just love entrepreneurs and really good ideas, so occasionally we'll do some outside. Are you located in Israel?
The R&D is located in Israel. We're from Israel. But actually, we operate through an American company. The company is CTLock USA.
Oh, okay. So
there you go. We're actually an American company.
You're still an American company. I love the idea, though. It's like so many products, it's necessity is the mother of invention. You needed something, you say there's got to be a better way, and you started on that path.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough and to find, I believe, a good solution for a serious problem.
Do you have an engineering background at all, or a design background? Because I always wonder, everybody has an idea, if I can just invent this thing that would do this, I don't even know where to begin, though. I don't have a design degree or an engineering degree. How do you find someone to actually build the idea that's in your head?
I have to say, it was much harder than we thought it would be. When I started out, I thought, well, that will not be too difficult. I don't have a mechanical background. I have a background in sales and distribution and logistics. That was my background, and I was feeling pretty good about that. But then I had this friend I told you, I hooked up with them, and we started the development. But then we found out, actually, this is not enough, because we had, the industrial design ready after some time, but that we needed the real engineering. Because a lock needs to be a good lock. It needs to be a serious lock that can really defend your bike from getting stolen. So then we took in a mechanical engineer to work with us on the product. But still, from that time that we had all of it ready until we had the product made, it took us, a couple of years, actually. It was a long, long path.
I see on your website... On your website, you also have a Foldy lock, which is a smaller lock that you can also attach to your bike, which looks pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, so that's actually funny because we started the company with the City Lock. That was where our first thing we wrote. We of course, we have a worldwide patent on the City Lock, but we had difficulties to really bring the product into the market. But then we said, okay, we're already doing, we learned something about locks, and we're already doing a foldable lock, which is integrated into a bike. So let's do a foldable lock as well, because we've seen there's a gap in the market for foldable locks, because there are just two big German companies on it, and but their products have some serious minuses in them. So then we started developing the Foldy Lock, and actually the Foldy Lock was first on the market. It was even on the market before the City Lock.
Oh, it was just kind of easier to develop and bring the product.
And I'm guessing the CD Lock fits on all bikes, right? That seat will connect to any bike?
Yes, because the thing about saddles, no matter what saddle you have, it always has the same rails, which are 7 millimeters wide. And the material itself of the rail, and the distance between each rail is 43 millimeters. So it's all 100% the same. So when you buy a City Lock, you get an adapter with it. And the adapter has the same rails like any saddle. So it's 100% universal, no matter what bike or what people you have there.
So one of the things the reason we do this segment is because we like people who come up with ideas and then actually go and try to do them, you know, dream and do. What advice do you give to somebody that's, you know, driving down the road today, heading to work and has an idea, but they're, you know, they're nervous. They don't know what to do.
Well, I would certainly say first thing, look it up. You know, you can look up everything today on the internet, because maybe you have a great idea, but somebody already did it. And that's what we did. We were Googling it and looking if somebody already did something like that. And we found that they didn't. Then I think the best thing to do is to go, if you have a new idea that you think doesn't exist today, I think you have to check the patents. Because as everybody knows, there's patents for many things. And if you go on and you start developing something, you invest a lot of time and energy and money. And finally, after a year or two, you'll find out that somebody already has a patent on it. No matter if it's not on the market, then you lost all your time and energy because, you know, you can't do it.
So do your research.
That's what we did.
So make sure to do your research.
Yeah, do your research. Don't jump into the water right away. Look it up. Check with a patent lawyer if it's relevant. Then maybe go to people that's what we did. We went to bike shops. We went to bike shops, and after we had the patent registered, the next thing we did is went to bike shops and asked them if they think it's a cool idea. We showed them sketches and asked them if it's a good idea. And when we had enough people from the industry telling us it's a good idea, then we went to the next step, which was the real investment and starting working on development.
It's Elon from CDLock.com. And Elon, what we're going to do is go ahead and tweet out a link to this. In fact, I already sent one out. I think Cal and Chris are going to do it as well. And hopefully people will check it out. But thank you so much for sharing your product and story.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Have a great day. They've got a pretty cool video up there, too. Well produced, by the way, from a business standpoint.
The whole site's really
By nice. The way, the price breakdown on these, $99.
That's not bad at all, considering how much these things usually go for.
Seat and a lock, $99.
Because it's not just a lock, it's a seat. You
right,
know,
it's
you
both
would think, $100 for a lock, that's a bit much. But no, the seat itself is the seat of the bike.
Right.
It detaches and it
becomes
turns into
lock.
A lock.
Right.
So you're paying for two things here.
And I think the Foldy Lock is $95. So yeah, that's
And the Foldy Lock is their other lock that's just like this almost like a, I don't know, like a pentagram type thing that just stretches out into five equal
but
pieces.
It looks like a Allen
looks
wrench
like an
set.
Allen wrench set, yeah.
That does it. That's how it steals. Okay.
It opens up.
So it's cdlock.com. Check it out. Quick break back with find out what we learned today on this, The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson
on the Blaze Radio Network. Alrighty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned Maxine Waters called for the impeachment of Trump.
No, she didn't.
Before she didn't call for it.
Right after she
Before
didn't.
She did call for
and
it.
She didn't call for it.
We learned tan lines may not be due to lack of sunshine. We learned if you only remove, if you remove the only staircase to a group of homes, you're doing it wrong. And we learned from Cal that New Jersey's biggest asset is Camden.
Oh. I never said anything about Camden. That's a hellhole.
You said that it's close to New Jersey.
Are you close to Philly?
Well, Camden is the closest thing to Philly.
It's not exactly Philly. Camden,
so you cited Camden
I never
as
said
the
Camden. I said
you said it's close to Philly. Well, what's the closest part of New Jersey to Philly?
Cherry Hill, actually.
Okay. Some people don't have maps.
You want to get very good.
Exact.
All right, Cal, spin of the dials, radio style dials, text this morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
If you're experiencing diarrhea-like symptoms before experiencing diarrhea, you really need to reevaluate your diet.
Yeah, there are no such things as diarrhea like. You're in it or you're not.
I learned in order to enjoy New Jersey, you really got to be there. Is really
no,
been there, done that.
Nope.
And finally, I learned that I really enjoy watching Chris Cruz try to pronounce common words like Morocco.
All right, let's see here. Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style dials, text morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
What I learned today is Cal's argument for New Jersey as a hot spot has just made me even worse not to want to go to New Jersey.
I know.
Paying
for
a
beach
there. You
got to
just go visit once.
At the Blaze, Keith, what, if anything, did you learn today?
Well, I learned that, according to Cal, New Jersey is a great state only because of its proximity to other states that aren't New Jersey.
That and Belmar. That's really it.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, the listeners learned today?
Yeah, Cal's y'all learning. A rabbi, a priest, and a plumber walk into Cal's backyard. Everyone agrees. Cut it.
Nice.
I did get my
Marky Farkin TMB fan number one. Snowflakes probably think D-Day is a day you eat/drink things that start with the letter D.
That's right, exactly. What do you got here?
Delicious.
Deadpool also learning. Progressives know how to spend your money better than you do. Tax to death.
20%.
Stephen English also learning. What if it's the did the guy from Playboy Bob come up with Fast and the Furious?
I think he did. He worked for the government in many different capacities over the years.
And finally, the bearded patriot learning, Amazon is using drones now. Walmart is moving forward with human delivery. Hashtag failed.
Way to be on top of it, Walmart.
Really bad.
Nice.
Just say, hey, could you take this on your way home and drop this off at 555 Smith
Street? What are you going to say? No. Sorry, can't do that, boss. Wow, which means we're going to be delivering stuff soon, too. Yeah. That's what we're going to do around here. Hey, just realized I need to get the new numbers up. Procrastination will do them tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
We talk technology trends and the future of AI with Kevin Kelly, co-founder of Wired Magazine.
What is Mike Broomhead coming up on the Blaze Radio Network?
Many things you heard him talk about. One of them being former ATF agent talking about his time infiltrating the Hell's Angels.
What is Mike Broomhead wearing today?
He had a nice little like stripe thing going. He's kind of a buff dude. You notice that?
He's slim. Yeah, he is.
He can bench press.
He's pretty buff. Yeah. He works out, I think.
Well, you can check it out yourself coming up on the Glenn Beck program today. All right, remember the...
he's the opposite of Glenn.
He is.
Physically
the
speaking.
The Morning Blaze is a today Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anyang, now you go home.
Is he doing push-ups?
I'm not sure who's offended by that, Glenn or Mike.
I said the opposite.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.